with the pirates, because of course they have cannons and everything.
It's a pirate's life for me.
Be proud of who you are and what you are. You're a pirate.
It is a first down. Pirate.
Because when you're at East Carolina, you go for it every time. Or you don't coach at East Carolina, you don't come to East Carolina, you don't play at East Carolina with a weak heart. Write it.
I think I've ever been in a building as loud as that was. It was deafening in there.
You will get them all. I can promise you that.
Hand it purple all night long in Eastern North Carolina.
You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.
It was an unbelievable atmosphere. I've coached a long time in a lot of great places, and I don't think I've ever been in a building as loud as that was. There were some times where it was deafening in there.
This is East Carolina Hall of Famer and Utah Jazz first-round draft pick Blue Edwards. You're listening to Pirate Basketball Overtime on the Sports Objective, your home for the best East Carolina hoops coverage.
Into Pirate Basketball Overtime on the Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates, and your home for the best ECU hoops coverage. Pirates were victorious on Sunday night, 70-64 in overtime over the Temple Owls. It did not look good with a little over 2.5 minutes to play, but to the Pirates' credit, they kept fighting. They were able to use their press to their advantage, force some Temple Owl turnovers, and then go on for the six-point win in overtime. But, Matt, it was certainly, you know, not a thing of beauty, much like it was or was not on Wednesday night out at Wichita State. But to ECU's credit, they found a way to get it done.
Bubba, you know, if you would have told me that our two bigs, Asar and Brandon Johnson, were to go 2-for-14 and that we were to go 4-from-28 – from three-point range, I would have told you there's absolutely no chance that we win that game. It's really amazing when you look at the numbers that we were able to pull that out. But that was a game that we had to win, in my opinion. You know, you and I spoke, you know, prior to that game, and we both felt like that was a very important game because, you know, a Temple team that's been struggling, you have a chance to play them at home. Get yourself back to 500 in conference. So that was a huge win for ECU last night.
It really was. At 2-4, you really felt as though, at least we did, you know, that going to Wichita State and then Temple at home, those were games that if this team's going to finish at or above 500 in league play, that you're going to have to win those, get back to 4-4, which we have. And now you have a couple of games against the top teams in the league. And on Saturday, you're going to be going to Charlotte, which is tied with Florida Atlantic at 7-1 atop the league. And just a half game back, tied in the loss column, are these South Florida Bulls that will be coming to Minji's on Wednesday night.
Yeah, and if we're able to take care of business at home, Bubba, against South Florida, it's going to be a very exciting game against Charlotte. You know, you talk about a lot of excitement built into that game. A team obviously playing very well right now. But, you know, two very tough games coming up. You know, South Florida, another team that, you know, if you sleep on them, you know, you're going to be in trouble. I mean, they've shown that they're capable of playing with the top teams in the league. And obviously another big opportunity. But – even more than that, Bubba, it's a chance to get yourself some real momentum in conference and get yourself over 500. In conference play, that is.
Exactly. You really hope, you know, earlier this year you had the opportunity to win three straight conference games. That is on the table once again. And so hopefully we can play better than we had the last two games, keep playing excellent defense, but then knock down some shots. And, you know, if you can do that, then you definitely have a shot against South Florida at home, because despite the Bulls' 6-1 record, many of those games have been very competitive. So there's no doubt the Pirates can do it, but we're going to have to shoot better.
Kind of like the Knicks outshot the Hornets tonight, Bubba.
Yeah, and was that a shot? Because I told you to take your Knicks to beat the Hornets, and not only to beat the Hornets, but to cover the 9.5. It's where I was seeing it, and they did that. Let's see the final score. I had it here. Yeah, 113-92 in favor of your New York Knickerbockers.
Yeah, I didn't like it because no Anunoby tonight, and I kind of felt like it was a little bit of a letdown game for the Knicks. They've been playing so well to have to head south into Charlotte, you know, against a team that's struggling right now. But, you know, I digress a little bit, not to get too far off topic, but, you know, for anybody listening, if there's any, you know, kids listening to this show, if you want to really learn how to play basketball, watch Jalen Brunson. I don't know if I've ever – this might sound like a reach, Bubba, all right? I'm not saying he's one of the best players I've ever seen, but he might have the widest array or the widest skill set offensively of any basketball player I've ever seen. I mean, he can shoot it from three. He can post. He can post up anybody. He's got the best floater, probably the best floater in the league. I mean, he can score from a million different angles. Definitely the most underrated basketball player on the planet, Jalen Brunson. So that's it. I'm going to get off my my Knicks point here. But, you know, if you have an opportunity to watch him play, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, definitely familiar with the name. I'm not as familiar with his game as you are, obviously. So I will definitely have to hone in on Jalen Brunson and see everything that he brings to the table. As you mentioned, excellent game tonight, 32 points, 7 assists, 4 rebounds for the Knicks star, as they improve to 29-17. Meanwhile, the Hornets, I believe, dropped to 10-34. So,
sorry,
not,
buddy.
No surprise there. I've seen the Hornets, I guess, 3 times this year in person, and it was fairly ugly every time. I take that back. They did win one game. But the other three were not competitive against the likes of the Kings, Pelicans, and I'm trying to remember the other game I saw. But that's enough Hornets talk tonight. Now let's get back to the Pirates. But before we do so, let's take a moment to show our appreciation to Ed Watkins Marine and their support of the show. Appreciate Big Ed. Ed Watkins Marine has 2 locations to serve you in the greater Charlotte area, in Denver and Cornelius, North Carolina. They can be found in Denver, just off North Carolina Highway 16 business. And then they're located on West Catawba Avenue at Suite B in Cornelius. You know, they can provide and meet all of your boating needs, you know, whether it's repowering your existing boat or if you're in the market for a new boat. They have fishing boats, center consoles, family friendly bow riders, trailers, pontoon boats, engines, UTVs, you name it. They can meet all of those boating needs. Appreciate Big Ed and their support of the program.
Absolutely. Appreciate Big Ed. Really happy to have him as a sponsor this year.
And moving back to the East Carolina Temple game, again, the Pirates victorious over the Owls, 70-64 in overtime on Sunday night. Kind of an unusual 5 o'clock tip-off, as always, dictated by TV as the game was on ESPN2. So nice to pick up a win on linear television against what is a very proud program, although down this year. That goes without saying. But and with that, the Pirates swept Temple on the year.
Yeah, I mean, that's not something we've been able to say very often, Bubba. I mean, like you said, a very proud program. You know, I think when you look at the history of college basketball, I'm pretty sure I have this right, that Temple is like in the top six or seven in terms of wins.
Yep. Yeah, Jeff Charles would always note that, and as well as Cy Seymour on the broadcast. And, yeah, I believe they're at least sixth as far as all-time winningest programs.
Yeah, so, you know, to your point, obviously a little down this year. And, listen, you know, hey, we had an opportunity to sweep the season series at home. And like you said earlier, it wasn't pretty for long stretches, just completely inept offense from the Pirates. But somehow they were able to get it done. And that's really, you know, you got to give it – I'll say this. I have to give ECU credit because and you can tell the story here in a minute, Bubba, but they were dead in the water with about 2 minutes and 30 seconds left in that game, maybe 3 minutes. And they kept battling. And they were able to kind of claw back into it and then get it into overtime. So you have to give some this is a very gritty team. They don't quit.
They do not. And something we were discussing off the air is the Pirates and got off to an excellent start in both halves. East Carolina led 15-6 about probably 7, maybe 8 minutes into the game. And you saw that lead, you know, evaporate, not extremely quickly because nobody was scoring a ton last night. But the Pirates clung to just a one-point lead at halftime, 27-26. Then after seeing that nine-point lead evaporate there late in the first half, ECU built that margin back up to 7 at 33-26, about 4 or 5 minutes into the second half. And then in a matter of about 2 minutes, Temple went on an 8-0 run to take a 34-33 lead from that point. There were ties and lead changes, kind of a seesaw affair. But then just over 2.5 minutes of play, ECU was staring an L in the face with that 57-49 deficit. But then the Pirates amped up the defensive intensity, brought the full court pressure, and then that was the difference along with ECU. It, in a way, it didn't seem like it because you did miss a few key free throws in the final 3 or 4 minutes as you were mounting that rally. But for the game, and we'll run over all the team numbers here in just a minute or two, but ECU finished 26 out of 32 from the line, over 81%.
And that saved us, Bubba. I mean, really, when you really break it down. And how ironic is that? Because that's the area where we've really struggled at, obviously, throughout the course of the year. And, to shoot as poorly as we did from behind the arc. Do I have that right? Were we 4 of 28?
Unfortunately, you are correct. RJ Felton was 3 out of 12, and everybody else was 1 for 16.
I mean, that is – so that is one of the worst numbers I've heard all year in terms of a basketball stat. That's the fact that we won that game. Like I said, it's amazing, but we were really bailed out by the free throw shooting, and you needed it and you got it. So hopefully that's a sign of, in terms of the free throw shooting, hopefully that's something we can start to replicate because, that's cost us, several games this year.
It has. And again, certainly didn't make, all the necessary plays in crunch time, but we did enough to find a way to get it done. And I would say, at least on the offensive end, and it's because you had to, you had to to make more plays because of that 8-point deficit. And, you know, we found a way to get to the free throw line and once we forced those turnovers to convert, and then in overtime we outscored the Owls 10-4.
Yeah, I mean, just you know, what you like is the team found a way to win. And so that's, you know, obviously a very good sign. You know, I think for me, though, Bubba, there's some really big questions here in terms of how we can generate a more efficient offense. I mean, a lot of times it just looks like, you know, we're really struggling to find a good look. We get late into the, you know, into the shot clock, and we're kind of forced to put up, you know, oftentimes a bad shot. And, you know, we're going to have to figure that out, because this team, you know, we do have talent on this team offensively, and we have weapons. And, you know, I think the biggest thing right now is when Brandon Johnson, you know, he's our best perimeter shooter. When he's sort of bottled up on the perimeter and he's not able to get clean looks, what do we do with him? I mean, we can't, you know, you can leave him on the perimeter just to get your floor spacing, but I would put him down into the post more. We're going to have to figure that out, because we've seen, you know, at least two or three games recently where he's just unable to get any clean looks.
Yeah. BJ definitely had struggles, as did everyone last night. Cause I mean, even RJ definitely made a lot of plays, but to get those 24 points that he finished with, and RJ had a double-double. We'll go ahead and run over those individual numbers in just a moment. But RJ, 43 minutes, so 43 of the 45 minutes, RJ played 24 points, 11 rebounds, just 7 out of 24 from the floor, 3 out of 12 from beyond the arc. However, 7 out of 7 from the charity stripe, and two crucial ones there to force overtime there in the waning seconds of regulation, as the Pirates were trailing, I guess it was 60-58. And then you had Hasir Miller. Now, to be honest, I thought we had lost, but a good recovery by BJ, as he was able to, I think, at least partially block that shot. If nothing else, distract Miller.
Well, I'll be honest. I never thought for a second that we were going to lose that game.
You're a liar. And the funny thing is, you're not even talking about that play. You want to enlighten our viewers and listeners?
Yeah, I'll share the story. I'll tell you. So, I was disgusted by, you know, right around the 8-minute mark, very unhappy with what I was seeing for the, I was actually out to dinner with my family and I had the game on my phone. All right. But I was trying to have a good time with the family and I was getting very aggravated watching the game because we were just playing terrible at that point. So I got so frustrated, man. It was about to ruin my time, you know, out to eat with the family. So I just shut it off. I was under the impression that we lost the game. I just assume, because I think at that point we were down 9 with like maybe 3 and change. I just assume we lost the game. I found out about a half hour later that we did in fact win. You know, I guess you could say I threw in the towel last night, but for a good reason, you know, for a good reason.
Well, Matt grew even more aggravated because some of the text messages, you know, he was taking it as though we were happy about a moral victory as opposed to a comeback win. Because I said, hey, Matt, you ready to do overtime? And he said, nah. He said, I don't think so. Something perhaps a little more harsh. And I said, what? I said, the guys fought their tails off, battle back from down 8. And you said, nah, thinking that we came up a little bit shy.
Yeah. And then Dave Richmond, thank God for Dave, he stepped in and said, Matt, you're wrong. We won the game. and I thought it was a joke.
You said you're kidding.
Yeah, I was shocked, but hey, lesson learned there, but glad we were able to get the win.
Taking a look at the individual numbers, in addition to R.J. Felton's double-double with the 24 points and 11 rebounds in 43 minutes, you had two other Pirates that squeaked in the double figures, as you had Bobby Pettiford off the bench, had a nice game off the bench at Wichita State when he had 8 points and five rebounds. And last night, Bobby, in 32 minutes off the bench, had 12 points and five rebounds, shooting he was one of the few Pirates to shoot the ball well last night. Just 1 3-point attempt, but Bobby was 5 out of 10 on the night. And you also had, his teammate in the backcourt, or backcourt mate, I should say, and Jaden Walker in 29 minutes. Jaden got the start once again, and Jaden had 10 points and 5 rebounds, 3 out of 7, and 4 out of 5 from the charity stripe. Also for the Pirates, you had Ezra Assar, 8 points and 4 rebounds. 6 of those 8 points came from the charity stripe. Just 1 field goal for Ezra in 34 minutes, which was certainly surprising, perhaps low water mark of the year. Then you had Brandon Johnson, 6 points and 7 rebounds. Also just 1 field goal, 0 for 6 from beyond the arc. Coming off the bench, you had Cam Hayes in 12 minutes, and most of those 12 minutes outside of about one or two were in the first half. So that made me almost wonder if something was going on there, since Cam Hayes was not seeing any playing time in the second half. And then Caleb Account and Valentino Pinedo had 2 apiece, and Val, to his credit, also in those 9 minutes, pulled down 4 rebounds after having 3 on Wednesday at Wichita.
He sure did. I liked the way he played last night. I thought he really hit the boards hard. And, when you're in his situation and you're really battling for minutes on the floor, that's really what you have to do. You have to bring energy to the game. And I thought he did a nice job of that last night. And, I'll tell you, there were some interesting lineups, at different points of that game, some unusual lineups that I haven't seen this year. And then hopefully I don't butcher it, Bubba, but is it Vungo? I'm not sure exactly how you say it. But
I had been saying Vungo, but on ESPN2 last night, they were saying Vungo.
Vungo, so. Okay. Well, it's good to see him get on the floor, He did get one shot up, but by all accounts, he's a very good perimeter shooter, and we could use any help we can possibly get there.
And Mike Schwartz in the post game, when asked about him, very complimentary, saying, only a couple practices under his belt, and between that and just his demeanor off the court and the way he's going about his academics in the first week or two, he's very pleased with his addition to the program. Running over the team numbers for last night, unlike at Wichita, where the Pirates had, I think it was 23 or 24 more shot attempts, and the Shockers very even a night ago. The Pirates, 20 out of 63, 31.7%. Temple, 22 of 61, 36.1%. East Carolina, as Matt mentioned, 4 out of 28 from beyond the arc, just 14.3%. Temple, 25% at 7 out of 28. The Pirates, 26 out of 32 from the charity stripe, so 7 more makes than Temple had attempts, and that went a long way in deciding this one, as the Owls were 13 out of 19 from the free throw line. East Carolina out-rebounded Temple 43-40, 16-12 on the offensive glass. Neither team had a lot of assists, not surprisingly, with such a poor shooting performance by both teams. Temple had 8 assists, ECU 6. The Pirates flipped the tables in the steal column as they had eight steals, compared to 6 for the Owls. ECU 3 block shots, Temple 2. The Pirates, once again, take excellent care of the basketball. Just 8 turnovers compared to 14 for the Temple Owls. Fast break points, ECU 18, Temple 11, and points in the paint. And the Pirates had a 6-point advantage with 30 compared to the Owls 24. So, Matt, as we look at that, in addition to the free throw shooting, you know, anything really stand out to you there?
You know, again, I mean, not to sound like a broken record, but, I mean, we're going to have to find a way to shoot the ball at a much more efficient level, and especially if we're going to have a chance to win at the top of this league. You know, I think South Florida is going to present some real challenges for us, but we're going to have – if we can shoot the ball at a high percentage – and then continue to shoot well from the free throw line, I think we can be in just about every game, because defensively, you know, I think we're right there. You know, I think this team is very scrappy. They play hard every night on the defensive end. It's just a matter of, you know, you know, it's a make or miss game. You have to knock down shots. So, you know, we'll see. Hopefully it's a better night on Wednesday shooting the ball.
Appreciate folks tuning in and chiming in on Facebook, YouTube, and X tonight. We have Irving Bennett chiming in on YouTube saying, as well as we play defensively, you know, if there's one thing we can improve on and take us to an elite level of defense, is stepping in the paint and drawing charges on these dribble drives. You saw it. We referenced the final play of regulation where it looked as though the Pirates were going to lose on a last-second shot. But to Brandon Johnson's credit, he was able to recover enough to make that challenging for Hasir Miller, the talented Temple guard. And then also, Matt, I know we haven't referenced it on the show, but we were discussing backstage before going live the play, you know, of the very talented Temple guard, and that is Jordan Riley. In 41 minutes, Riley had 20 points and 8 rebounds and absolutely posterized the Pirates twice. Once in the first half, about 5 minutes into the game, he caught the ball just inside the free throw line, took a dribble and threw it down. And then probably 5 or 6 minutes into the second half, had the ball in the left wing, like Irving's pointing out, and nobody stepped up. And he took it all the way to the basket for a thunderous dunk.
Absolutely. You know, he threw down some monster dunks yesterday. Really impressive athlete. But, yeah, to Irving's point, I mean, you know, those are winning plays when you can step in the paint and take a charge and prevent, you know, either an easy layup or a dunk in this case. Definitely would like to see more of that, too. So I think that's a really good point. You know, one other thing, Bubba, that we didn't really have a chance to really talk about much was the full court pressure. You know, we went to late in that game. Really impressive full court pressure. You don't really see too often in college basketball where teams struggle to beat that kind of pressure. I call that an all or nothing press, where basically, you know, you had Asar over the ball on the inbound, and you're trapping the inbound pass in the corner. And really you're looking for a steal. If you don't get that steal, you're pretty much dead in the water. But hey, to again, the team, they played really hard, great energy, and they were able to create 3 or 4 turnovers with that full court pressure to get them back in the game. So I was pretty impressed by that.
Yeah, I was as well. And hopefully, I mean, that's something that perhaps we haven't been using a little bit more, you know, because of depth concerns or something of that nature. I know, you know, going back to the Jeff Lebo era, at times we would use it and it would be effective, but we never employed it as much as you would think we would based on the success we had with it when we used it. But
Temple really struggled with it, Bubba. I mean, they really looked confused by it, which really surprised me a little bit. But nice adjustment there. I mean, it helped turn the game back in our direction. So be interesting to see if we go to some more, you know, pressure in the backcourt like that.
Speaking of turning the game in our direction, I referenced the play by BJ there after Miller had driven by him. But there was a tremendous block shot by RJ Felton there in the final few minutes of the game. Wanted to get your thoughts on that one. And then also the play that started the Pirates run, or at least one of the plays that started the run. Temple would miss a three out of the corner. Long rebound. The ball kind of caromed toward half court. RJ Felton, I believe it was, picked it up. But RJ took it to the hoop and converted a three-point play, taking the deficit from 8-5 and just shrunk from there.
RJ is a gamer, and the block was outstanding. I mean, outstanding block. That guy shows up every night. He plays extremely hard. Has made several, clutch baskets recently, even within the last week. I mean, several clutch baskets. So happy for him. He's a really tough player. I think of him as a glue guy. He's like a Swiss Army knife. He can kind of do it all for you. He can play great defense. He can knock down perimeter shots. He can attack the rim. And he can also hit shots from the mid-range too. So when he has it going, he's a real weapon. Happy for him. He had a great night.
Taking a look at the AAC standings, as we referenced earlier when discussing the Pirates' upcoming games, saying that we would be discussing that in a little more depth as the show went on. The Charlotte 49ers, the Pirates travel to Halton Arena on Saturday afternoon, 2:00 tip-off. Charlotte 7-1, along with 20th-ranked Florida Atlantic. The 49ers 13-7 overall, compared to 17-4 for FAU. South Florida, the next opponent for East Carolina, comes to Minji's on Wednesday night. You have the Bulls 13-5 overall, 6-1 in the league, just a half game back of the 49ers and FAU Owls. You have UAB in North Texas tied at 5-2 fifth place. Excuse me, fourth place. So again, UAB in North Texas tied for fourth at 5-2. UAB coming off a win over Memphis. A lot of people probably would not have guessed that after seven league games, you'd have the Memphis Tigers at 4-3. But that's where they are, 2.5 games back, along with the ACC-bound SMU Mustangs. Memphis 15-5 overall, 13-7 is SMU. Then you have East Carolina, eighth place, right there in the middle of the league, 11-10, 4-4. Tulane, 12-8, 3-5. Tulsa, let's see, 11-8, and 2-5. And a correction for Tulane, I think I said they were 11-8. They're 12-8. Then you have UTSA, the Roadrunners are 8-13, 2-6. Wichita State picked up its first league win, taking down SMU at Coke Arena. The Shockers are now 9-11 overall, 1-6. Also at 1-6 are the Rice Owls, and then Temple sits in the cellar at 1-7 following last night's defeat at Williams Arena Minji's Coliseum.
And Bubba, what an opportunity. I mean, if you're Mike Schwartz, you're looking at this game on Wednesday night. What an opportunity for ECU to have a team sitting at 6-1 in conference coming into your building. You have momentum. It's a great opportunity to take a win. And, I think I'm really excited to see what kind of energy we come out with. And, I imagine that's going to be – you're going to get some of our best effort of the year for that game. So looking forward to that. And then, really quick, just on Memphis, for me, Penny he's proven that he can recruit at an extremely high level. He gets top quality players, but for me, there's some questions on coaching, with that staff. I don't necessarily think they maximize their talent. So just something to keep an eye on. I think, you know, obviously all the talent in the world, but you have to be able to coach it up.
No doubt. And I referenced the Wichita State 77-72 win over SMU. That was a thriller on Sunday. And
a shocker.
Yep, it was a shocker. Well played. And then you had UAB 97-88 over the 19th-ranked Memphis Tigers. That one at Bartow Arena there in Birmingham. And then you had I talk about FAU 7-1. They won a thriller against North Texas, defeating the Mean Green 66-63 down in Boca.
Tough game there. I mean, that was a fun game to watch. And North Texas, another one of these teams that, you know, they're going to come to play every night. So I don't know, man. I'm enjoying this conference right now. I was pretty down on the changes after last year, you know, losing Houston and Cincinnati. But I got to say, I'm enjoying this conference more than I thought. What about you? I mean, do you think it's sustainable? I think that's the biggest question. Is this a sustainable quality conference year in and year out, Bubba?
That's a great question. I wish I had an answer to that. If I had to guess, I would say yes. I do like the parity. Very competitive from top to bottom. You know, you can really, in years past, you would not have had a situation where you can have somebody at the bottom of the league, you know, be right there pushing a team at the top of the standings. Kind of transition into another score. I know tonight a big game taking place out in Austin, as you have first year member of the Big 12 taking on final year, a member that's in its final year, the Texas Longhorns. The fourth-ranked Cougs are up 36-28 with just over 19 minutes remaining at the Moody Center in Austin. So let's hope that score holds up and the Cougs can add to that lead. But wanted to recognize a few more comments here before we start to wrap the show up. Craig Doucette chiming in. Hadn't heard from Craig in a while, and he says just that. He said, "I miss and love you guys. Been busy. We'll check in more soon." Appreciate that, Craig. We know you're definitely going to tune in and chime in whenever you're able to do so.
Thank you, Craig. Don't forget us, brother.
And then Irving Bennett, once again, saying, "Offensively, I remain baffled on the inconsistent shooting from the field." Yes, yeah. But at the same time, I think, Coach Schwartz realizes that it's probably a very average shooting team at best. And he's noted in recent press conferences, or perhaps it was Inside Pirate Athletics each and every Monday night that's held at Tiebreakers in Greenville, believe on that broadcast with Patrick Johnson and Stephen Igo of 94.3 The Game, that he referenced that was one of the top priorities, if not the top priority, in the transfer portal and recruiting trail to sign a shooter or two.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, it would just change everything for this team if you had a consistent knockdown shooter on the perimeter. So, hopefully that's something we can find. And, in the meantime, we're going to have to find a way with this, with this group of guys to just shoot it more consistently. I think, one final point I wanted to make is that, Cam Hayes, I kind of, as we're moving forward here into the season, I kind of like the idea of him being a sixth man and the type of guy that can come off the bench with a lot of energy and bring you, an instant offense type role. I think that's a good role for him right now, considering the way the season has gone for him, and just to kind of get him into a rhythm, because it's really been up and down for him. But get him into a rhythm, get him some shots, get him scoring a little bit, and I think that would help this team a lot too.
And hopefully sooner rather than later, the return of Quentin DeBunge. DeBunge, as we've discussed multiple times there in that game against Florida Atlantic when he hurt his ankle. I mean, he was playing so well. You hate it. I mean, he's so explosive. He can knock down threes in multiple games where he's hit 4 and 5 threes. And then also has the ability to put it on the floor and take it to the hole strong and throw down a dunk at times.
Yeah, and he gives you an athletic perimeter defender as well, you know. Guy 6'7" who can, you know, very athletic, can defend on the wing. So, yeah, looking forward to getting him back. Big loss, as you mentioned. And, you know, we need all the help we can get. So, hopefully he's back soon.
And as always, we appreciate Norm Fear. Norm chiming in saying, best Pirate show on the internet. Appreciate that, Norm.
Appreciate that, Norm.
But, Matt, if you don't have anything else, we'll go ahead and wrap this up. What I will close with before we plug our social media and get out of here is Charlotte Area Pirates, Upstate of South Carolina Pirates, in any Pirates, Raleigh West, get to Halton Arena on Saturday. You know, we do an excellent job of that with baseball. Last year when we played in downtown Charlotte, against the 49ers, and the Pirates were going into that game and ranked in the top 10 and really painted that ballpark on Truist Park and there in downtown Charlotte, purple. You know, had probably at least a couple thousand, if not 2,500 Pirates or something there that night. And I think the attendance was announced about 4,500. But there will be a tailgate party for those that can get out to Halton Arena, and we'll put the details of that on our social media. Don't have that in front of me right now, but definitely plan on getting out to Halton Arena again. 2 o'clock tip-off on Saturday afternoon against the Charlotte 49ers, who are currently 7-1. And between now and then, let me see who they have. Believe they play Wednesday, as do the Pirates. No, they actually they are open this week, so Charlotte has plenty of time to prep for ECU.
Yeah, absolutely. So hopefully we do get a good turnout there, Bubba, and you know, take care of business first on Wednesday night, and then we can, you know, look towards Charlotte.
Yep, and I do think we'll have a good contingent there, and we'll certainly have some sights and sounds from around Halton Arena on the Sports Objective YouTube channel. Speaking of our Sports Objective YouTube channel, we, a few weeks back, surpassed 1,100 subscribers, so be sure to go there, subscribe, and when you click subscribe, click that notification bell and all. So that way, anytime we go live or upload new content, such as sights and sounds around Williams Arena, Minchie's Coliseum, or in this case, Halton Arena, you'll be notified on your device. You can also follow us on all of our social media, on X at the Sports OBJ, on Instagram and TikTok at the Sports Objective, and then like and follow us on Facebook. But for Matt Semenza, I'm Bubba Rosenbaum. You've been watching and listening to Pirate Basketball Overtime. Again, East Carolina victorious 70-64 over the Temple Owls as ECU defeats Temple in overtime on Sunday evening. We'll talk to you soon. And as always, go Pirates.
That's what purple